There's two verses I want to read. I sure would like to read more tonight. Maybe I will here. Galatians 5 and Hebrews 12 will be the two texts tonight that God touched my heart with yesterday afternoon while I was preaching at the detention center. He told me to preach this tonight to the house of God. And that might sound a little unusual, but you know that you handle the Word of God. And even in the will of God, you know that God speaks to you. Even at times you wouldn't expect Him to tell you things, God does. And that's just goodness of God and helping us in that way. Galatians 5, you know the record about Galatians, how these was free in Christ, how He said stand fast in the liberty. But there was many Judaizers in that day, and there was many that tried to hinder these from going on in the grace of God. That verse 4, I know a lot of people took out of context, talked about being fallen from grace. And what had happened, they had begun in grace and they tried to make themselves perfect by keeping the law. And that's the problem that some got in and taught that record of that, but it was false. And then Paul said this in verse 7. He said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that should not obey the truth?" I got to read verse 8 because it says, "This persuasion coming not of him that calleth you," a little leaven, leaveth the whole lump. In the true context of that, he's saying here that the Judaizers, the legalists, is hindering you from obeying God and walking in grace and the liberty of Christ. And that's what he's saying here. There's some that come in preaching circumcision. That's why Paul dealt with it. He said, "Neither circumcision or uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creature." The reason was because there's a lot of circumcision talk. You don't have to be cut in the flesh tonight. Amen to that. I've been cut in the heart, pricked in the heart. God's gospel got a hold of me. And I'm thankful tonight that it's not the works of men, but the works of God and the grace of God. That word hinder there simply means that somebody stepped in front of you. If you use it as, he said, "You did run well." Well, you can picture that. Paul used a lot of athletic terms in his writings at times, and he's talking about somebody actually stepping in front of you and cutting you off while you're running the race. That's what that means. It'd be like you running down a path and somebody's broke the path up where you can't continue. And that's what Paul's saying here. Who did hinder you? Well, we know that the Judaizers and the legalists did hinder them tonight. And I won't tell you, you can be as free in Christ as, thank God, the Word of God gives you liberty. Amen. That's right. You're not bound by traditions and by my friend, thank God, the regulations of the law, even though we're under the law of the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ always does much more than what's wrote, because the Holy Spirit lives within you now, and He gives you the grace, thank God, to live more for God. Amen. I'm glad I'm not just under some legality tonight, that's all I would do. Thank God, grace takes me further than that. And brother, that's the good thing tonight. Amen. Brother, God wants you to be who He wants you to be. And when Christ come, the reason they didn't want Him, because He wasn't falling after their mold. Thank God, He was the Son of God, and He wasn't going to fall into their religion. And therefore, Jesus, thank God, was under the complete control of the Father's will, and He came to do it. That's what He said. And brother, He wants us to do that, and nothing should hinder us, thank God, from enjoying the good liberty we have in grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a hindrance here, thank God, for these people here, because they went back to doing what they did before. And you know, He even called them, but He said in verse chapter 3, He said, "You've been bewitched." That means somebody's fascinated you. Somebody's got in your head to get you away from the, thank God, what Paul taught was, thank God, you began in the Spirit, you keep going in the Spirit. You're not made perfect by works. Faith does work, but you're not made perfect by the works that you do. Amen. Christ is the perfect one in you, which He is, thank God, the one that will perfect you completely in time. Thank God, that's why there should be progression in everybody's life. And we ought to be more like Jesus today than the day we got saved. Because we walk in Him. He's our example. Amen. And we have Him rooted and built up us in love. Thank God that we might walk in the faith. And so Galatians is a good verse here. Hebrews chapter number 12 is another verse. A familiar verse. I preached from it many a time. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1. He's talking about them witnesses there. And thank God, let me get there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. He said this, "Wherefore, seeing also, for see, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And so I want to say something here. This compassed about, in the prior chapter, that's basically what he's talking about. These were people that were by faith the conquerors. Can I use that word? Amen. They overcame by faith. They lived by faith. They obeyed. They walked by faith. It's not somebody, and I don't want to try to bust nobody's bubble now if they believe it. But them people that go to heaven not looking down here on earth tonight. Thank God, they ain't looking over the banisters of heaven and seeing what's going on. Amen. They're in a different place. Why do they want to look down here anyhow? Amen. Jesus, he's got his eyes on us. But them that's got on before us, amen, they're in a place, praise God, that's a good place. If they were born again, they're in some presence of God. I don't understand all that. I don't know at the resurrection we shall be made like him. And I believe that's when the reunion really comes, because he said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive shall be caught up together. Thank God. So when somebody dies, I do know the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But he's preaching here to people that's on earth here. And them people that had done compassed about or left, they witnessed of faith. Amen. And he's saying, can I say it like this? He's saying it's been given to you. Thank God, by God, but it's also been held up by these others that's lived for God. And therefore, he said, let us lay aside every weight. Amen. Weights is something that holds you down. In fact, if you examine the runner in the Olympic Games in them days, they had very little clothing on. They did not have much on because they didn't want no weight on them when they ran. And he related it to a Christian race and said, let's lay aside every weight, everything that hindered us from going forward for God, let's lay it aside. And brother, there's a whole list of things I know a man can preach on. But let us lay aside every weight, everything about us. Amen. I know what my weights are. You know what yours are. Amen. Ain't no need me trying to preach them tonight. God ain't give me nothing to say. Yes, but do it. Amen. And God help us to do it. If we want to go further with God, we're going to have to lift that. Have some weights. And then he said, and the sin, which does so easy, but says, I will say this tonight, in my understanding of this chapter, and what I've seen in the prior chapter, the sin that besets us, amen, the sin that lays heavy, my friend, on the individual that they can't go forward, is unbelief. If a man don't believe God, he's not going to act. You've got to believe it. Brother, tonight I believe it. Thank God, if I believe it, then I'm going to practice it. I'm going to live what it says. I'm telling you, friend, that the Bible does you no good, and me no good, if we don't do what it says, amen. It'd be crazy tonight for a man to go to the doctor, and the doctor give him medicine, and he didn't take it. And the same thing lies with God giving us scriptural truth and not taking it. Amen. Notice what he said here. He said, it easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to mention three things tonight about the race. Number one, you got to be in it to run it. And the only way you get in this race is you're chosen unto salvation in the call of God in your heart.
Right.
You just don't enlist in a race. You got to be, thank God, you got to be on the team, the race. Amen. Nobody ever comes out of the stands and gets in the race.
Right.
They're already in the race. Amen. They're a part of the race. And brother, the way I got in the race one day was about 34 years ago. Thank God, on the December 1983, when an old man of God said I had to be born again. And God saved me by the grace of God. And I got in the race. Hey, God, I'm telling you, friend, that's how you get in. You got to be saved to get in. If you never have been saved, you never have been in the race. Amen. You got to get in the race. Thank God. Amen. The only way you can run is be in the race. Amen. If you ain't in the race, you ain't running. Amen, buddy. I used to like going to them track meets. Thank God I used to go to them county meets they had over here in these schools. I'd go with the Meisenhammers and I'd always like that 100-yard dash. Thank God they'd get ready. They'd get down and they'd get their feet ready in them. Thank God, my friend, that horn would blow or that whistle and hook off running. Amen. I never seen anybody on the sideline ever run. It was only in them, it was in that event. And the same thing with the mile run. Same thing with the 2 mile run. Amen. They've got to be in the race to get it and obtain the prize. And you'll have to be in the race. Amen. You know why a lot of you don't run? They're not in the race. You've got to get in the race. Amen. Brother, and I'm telling you, thank God for the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I would not be in the race tonight had not God got me in the race. Amen. He chose me. Thank God I didn't choose Him. He chose me. Amen. I didn't call on Him. He called on me. Amen. He picked me for His team. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, and I said, I will. Amen. Thank God I will. That's all you have to do. Just come to His will. God, not willing you perish, but repent. Thank God His will is that you hear the word. His will is that you be born again. His will is that you come. Thank God as you are. His will is you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. His will is that you act upon His word. His will is when He speaks, listen. His will is come as you are. Amen. Thank God. He can make anybody a runner if they'll get in it. Amen. That's right. Praise God for that. Amen. I'm telling you, this ain't a 100-yard dash, too. This is a lifetime race. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Been running a while. That's right. Listen, when you run a race, you've got to run, thank God, to obtain. You're going to run to obtain when you run a race. Amen. You just don't run. You run for a purpose.
Right.
Amen. I'm running. Paul said, I don't run as one that... He said, only one receives a prize. Right. He said, I'm running to receive a prize. I mean, I'm running for a purpose. Oh, if you ever get a hold of that, if you ever get a hold of the fact that the purpose that God put you in that race was to run for Christ, and there's a prize at the end of the finish line, thank God, and you see it's for God. It's for the glory of God. It's for a prize. Amen, brethren. He said they do it for a corruptible crown. Thank God, I've seen them teams raise them trophies up. I've seen men stand on platforms, won gold medals. Amen. I remember, thank God, back to the Olympic years. I liked the Olympics. Amen. I remember an old boy by the name of Dan Waddle. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, that man, thank God, struggled to win. He won a medal. I remember him standing on that platform probably about 72. And it's got a hold of me about these boys winning them medals in that day. They was amateurs, friend. Now the professionals go. But brother, them men won something. They gave their self for that game. A runner, friend, is going to run. When he's in the race, he's going to run for a prize. He's going to run, thank God. And he's going to stay in shape to run. Amen. He can't put his hand in the plow and look back. He's got to look ahead when he's running. Amen. And that's the second point. You can't look back when you run. You can't live in the past. You know, after I say amen tonight and we leave the doors at this service to be history,
what God does in it lasts forever, but what's done here tonight in this house of God, when we walk out, it'll be history. You teachers today, when you taught their class, Brother King, when you worked today and you went up there and worked on them vehicles, whatever you've done today, can I tell you right now, it's history. Amen. That's right. What happened yesterday's history. What happened 10 years ago is history. I like history. I like to be reminded of what God can do. I believe that's what He's telling them. Look at all them that's run before you. But history, my friend, thank God, is in the past. Two things about history. It can discourage you or it can encourage you. Amen. I can be encouraged to know what God did 10 years ago. I can be encouraged to know what God did 2,000 years ago. But I can be discouraged if I look back at my failures. And if I just keep looking at my past successes, instead of looking to see what's before me. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that's behind me. Thank God I press toward the mark. I can't live in my past tonight. I can't live in things. Thank God that I did 10 years ago. Amen. Brethren, too many people said I used to. Tell it all to me what's going on now. Amen. That's right. How many people say that? We say it. Well, I remember I used to do that. I remember I used to pray. I remember I used to read my Bible more diligent. And to see, we can't live in that used to. Oh, yeah, friend, I've hoarded a lot of things up over 30-some years. Amen. Amen. I'm a hoarder somewhat. Amen. But I'll tell you, the best thing you ever hoard is the Word of God. Amen. That's what that word hid means in Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might sin against thee. You looked up that word hid, it means to hoard up. Amen. Some people got plenty of food. I mean, their cabinets are full. They're under the cabinets are full. You know why? They're hoarding it up. Amen. A squirrel, praise God. I see them all the time working out there at them pecan trees. Amen. They're hoarding them pecans up. Amen. That's right. Ants work in the summertime. They hoard all their food up for the wintertime. I'm telling you, brethren, thank God, God wants you to get a good fullness of His Word in you and hoard it up. But brother, you can't go back, thank God, and redo what you done yesterday. Can I tell you this? We can't live in yesterday, but we learn from yesterday, and we can rejoice off of it. Amen. What the good things of God is tonight. Hey, don't live in the past. Thank God, live ahead. Amen. That's what He's saying. Don't look back. You can't look back. It's just a good example. It's a good example. He that put his hand in the plow and looked back is not fit for the kingdom. It don't mean anyone's not going to the kingdom. You're talking about discipleship there. If you look back, you ain't going to make it. If you're plowing, you're not going to go for it. You're going to be pulled all over the place. Circumstantial things. Certain things in your life. Certain things that happen here. Certain things that happen here. And what happens is, it's like Peter when he got out of the boat. Amen. The winds are blowing around him. And he gets a fretting and alarmed. And what he began to seek, thank God he went too far from the Lord. Amen. He said, Lord, save me. Immediately reached out his head, brought him up out of the water, walked back to the boat with him. Amen. Thank God. But I'll tell you one thing, Peter did get out the boat. Wasn't none of the others getting out. Amen. But he did get out of the boat. Even though the record says he began to sink. You know why? He took his eyes off the Lord. That's why he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's a great example. Amen. Brother, I'm here. There's some God men I look at and I say, they're a good example to me. But there ain't nobody like Jesus. Amen. That's right. Nobody like Him. Nobody.
Right.
He didn't say, look unto the preacher. He didn't say, look unto the deacon. He didn't say, look unto the Sunday school teacher or the choir member. He didn't say, look unto the evangelist. He said, look unto Jesus. Amen. He didn't say, look unto the preacher and the pastor and all the gifts that God gave the church. Surely we ought to look unto them for the biblical help that we need, that God's gifted them with.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to running a race, we're looking unto Jesus. If you look unto me, then you need to look further than me. Amen. If you look unto the brother that's teaching or the brother that's preaching or whoever's doing the preaching, you need to look further than that. Because you're going to have to hear from heaven. Amen. He's giving you heaven's bread. Amen. You need to grab a hold of it while it's coming to you. Amen. He said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But I give them a new bread that will live forever. Amen. That's right, brother. This was something they couldn't pick up with their hands. I could go out and get manna and eat it every day, and it was sweet. Thank God it got to the taste. Amen. They had to get it up. This bread's a gift. Amen. And manna was too, in fact. But this bread here is a living bread. And thank God when you get a hold of it. Thank God you'll never hunger again. Amen. That's right. You rise for God. Can't look back. Too many people looking back at the past guilt. You feel guilty. Some of you feel guilty. You live in that guilt. You can't never go nowhere for God. You say, I done that and I didn't, shouldn't have done this. And well, I don't know if anybody couldn't say that. I mean, some things are worse than others, but it's all bad if it ain't the will of God. Amen. So you can't live in that. You know, I can't go back and say, Lord, I should have done different. I do say that, but I can't live in that. You know what I'm saying? Why do we want to kick people when they're down? Praise hell, I don't help them up, praise God. Amen. Why do I want to kick them? I don't want to kick them and say, you know better than that. Thank God, I want to say, I want to give you a hand to get you up. Restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself. A man be overtaken the fall. That's right. Amen. That's a blessing, ain't it? A friend loving at all times. There's a brother that's born, there's a brother sticking closer than a brother. There's one that's sticking closer than a brother. Brother's born for adversity. Thank God for Jesus. He's our brother. Amen. He said he was not ashamed to call them brethren. Amen. Thank God. Amen. It's a blessing, ain't it? That's right. You know how close you are? You're so close that he can see you in his eye. You can see yourself in his eye. You ever looked in somebody's eye and seen yourself? You got to get pretty close to do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's how close you are to him. That's right, he can see you.
Yeah.
Amen. The thing is, we need to see him.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. It's hard, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's hard when you attack. It's hard when you go through hardship.
Yeah.
You wonder where he's at. Just look unto him.
Yeah.
By faith. Looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. Everything was authored and finished by him.
That's right.
Joy was set before him and endured the cross.
Yeah.
Joy was the redeemed. The people he had bought and redeemed with his own blood. That was the joy.
Yeah.
Amen. The joy wasn't at the cross. The joy was after the cross. Even though the joy was that was set before him.
Yeah.
He's seen what the cross was going to bring. He's seen what he was doing, what God was going to do through that. Amen. He's seen you. Miss Linda sings when I was on the when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Praise God. He knew me, yet he loved me. That's a blessing, ain't it? Thank God, buddy. Amen. If a man ever wants to see tonight exactly what thank God what he means by looking unto Jesus, amen, just take a look at him. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Number three, I'm going to tell you this is what you're going to have to do in a race. You're going to have some endurance. He said he endured the cross. He endured it. Endurance is it means that you got to go through some things. There's a lot of hardships in the Christian life. Number one, we're a stranger to the world, but everybody has common hardships. We have health problems. We have family problems. We have financial problems. We have persecution. Well, there's a lot of things you go through in life. You have spirit problems sometimes.
Yeah.
And it might not even be your fault, but somebody has stole a canker in your spirit. It's like pulling poison in your spirit when you're trying to run for God and trying to endure and go for God, and all of a sudden you get head on hit.
Yeah.
What you going to do? You're going to plead the help of God. I will tell you, I would never be this far had it not been him carrying me.
Right.
I would never been this far had not been God helping me. I'm telling you, there's no way. Amen. Listen, if it was not for that, what I know that's in me and who I know that's in me and giving me the grace to run, I would not endure.
Right.
Amen. God knows tonight. Thank God that I want to. And God knows tonight that I'm weak without the help of God. But God knows that I need to endure.
Yeah.
I got to go through it.
Right.
There's things I don't want to go through. Do you know, isn't it amazing that when you're a child of God, that God sometimes alarms you before you get to go through it? You know, God spoke to me at the first of this year God spoke to me at the first of this year and told me, he told me there was going to be some things that was going to be hard. That's what he told me. He said there's going to be some hard things. Now, that ain't the best news you get, but I sure appreciate him letting me know that before they get here to kind of get ready for them. You can't really get ready for some things. Somebody said get ready for it. You can't really get ready for some things. God knows it. I'm glad I don't know what's going to be in tomorrow. I'm glad I don't know what's going to be next week. I'm glad I don't know. I don't know. I boast not of tomorrow, but I know not what a day may bring forth. But I do know that suffering's come. I do know that hardships come. I do know God grows a man through sufferings. Amen. Jesus learned obedience through sufferings. It's a whole lot. I mean, just be honest. The flesh likes convenience. The flesh likes happy times. Amen. The flesh likes that kind of thing. Amen. But reality is reality. There's things around us a lot of times that causes us to say, Lord God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But he helps you get through it. He endures you through it. Amen. Endure. Amen. That's why he said run with patience. Amen. The word patience is the same hookup. Thank God they endured with cheerfulness. They go through it with grace. They go through it, thank God, believing. Amen. Because if you don't believe, I'm telling you, you could sink like Peter did. Amen. That's why he's around when you get to sinking. Amen. Because he's faithful. He's faithful. Praise God. That's why he said in the middle of 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taking you such as common to man. Amen. But God is faithful. That means whatever you go through, he's faithful. Amen. He's faithful to help you. Amen. If you're going to run a race, you've got to have some endurance. You just, listen, that's why I said them runners train for that. They're in shape for that. You ever thought about this? I mean, it's hard for me to get understanding of this. If somebody can run 25, 26 miles, I never like running unless I'm doing something. I never did. I thought, man, I can't get out and run on that road and run 5 and 10 miles. But if I can dribble basketball and shoot it or play a baseball game, I'll run then. But I never could conceive the fact in my mind that people actually run these marathon races. But they got to be in shape to do it. They've got to have some endurance to do it. I mean, and in the Christian life, listen to me. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. God allows them things in your life to cause you to have some endurance in you. Amen. Some stick 'em in you. Amen. Hey, God, I want to say this. I have some integrity in you. And I have some, I'm going to go on in you. Amen. For when the storm comes and hardship comes, hey, God, friend, he's got you built up so much. Hey, God, to that place that you can grab hold of him and say, Lord, you've done it before and you can do it again. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Listen. Two's better than one. Two's better than one. That's why we need one another. That's why every once in a while, I don't know what you go through, but I can come up and say, brother, thank God for you. I appreciate you. Amen. You know what that says? I'm going to keep running. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to keep running. Amen. I appreciate you. You got a man sitting on the front row. Thank God for you. Let's keep on running. Man, that's what you need. What did he say? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but what? Exhorting one another. What we exhort one another in the race. Amen. Keep preaching, preacher. I had Brother Milby on the heart today. I called him. I said, Brother Milby, he wasn't there. I left the message. I said, I was fired up. I said, Brother Milby, I want to tell you, let's keep preaching the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I said, you know what? That helps a preacher. It helps a preacher. You know when God touches a man's heart to say something to somebody? That's because that man needs it. That's because that lady needs it. Amen. A kind word or a word spoken in due season. It's a blessing. It helps people. We got to be in this thing together. We run in the race. He said, let us run. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, run that you may obtain. They do it for an incorruptible a corruptible crown. We do it for an incorruptible crown. In other words, here was a, a physical race or a physical championship, it's all corruptible. It don't last. Amen. But what we run for is incorruptible. We got to see the value of it. Amen. You got to see it. Listen, it's a personal race too. I can't run the race for you. You can't run it for me. Amen. You can't. It's going to take God to run it. Amen. In you. He wants to do it. Christ is the proof of it. He's the example of it. He's our running example. Let's just run. Amen. Stay with it. A lot of people quitting. Hardships. Discouragement. Depression. Somebody said people don't get depressed. Well, God help, I have. I've heard preachers say with depression that people ought not never get depressed. Well, I agree with you. We ought not, but we do. Amen. I can be on the mountaintop one day and be back Elijah the next day. Amen. Thank God, pray down the fire and praise God to kill all the prophets of Baal, and then want to get under the juniper tree and say, kill me, Lord, I'm ready to go. You say, why is it like that, preacher? I don't know. When you find out, let me know. I mean, it ain't nothing, something out in our own life that we doing that causes that. Sometimes I guess some things can be like that because we're, thank God, not walking in the joy of Jesus. Amen. Joy encourages you, friend. And why Nehemiah say the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is your strength. Thank God, hallelujah. Therefore, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Amen. Praise God. You know what it said when Jesus, in Luke 10, 21, it said, and Jesus rejoiced. That same hour, Jesus rejoiced. Why? Because of where the Holy Spirit had revealed the truth.
That's right.
You know what that, look it up. That word rejoiced in the Greek means he leaped for joy. Jesus, that means Jesus jumped up there and said, glory to God. Amen. Every once in a while, y'all have the joy in you. Yeah. Amen. That's what your joy made him full. Yeah. That's what he said in 15, 1 John 1. The Word of God, the fellowship of God, the joy of God might be full. I was going down the road on a Tuesday morning. Me and Brother Shank had went to a revival on Monday night and tell a priest a good message on Christ. But I got to thinking about the Lord, and I guess it was about a half a mile. I mean, the Holy Ghost. I mean, just, I mean, buddy, I just, I've texted my wife. Somebody said, you text driving. I said, I reckon it did. I text her. I said, God is a great God. I said, thank God he's a great God. About a half a mile of it. Got out of it. A little patch right there of it. You know what I'm saying? You get in that sometimes. He just kicks in his joy in you. It's a moment right there. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe we could live in it longer if we'd stay with it. Amen. Just pull the truck over, the car over, and say, thank God it's time to preach and have a camp meeting. Amen. If I wish to God I'd done it. I know they'd have thought I was crazy, but I'd have had somebody's attention. Amen. I mean, that's God getting in it. You know what I'm saying? That's God bubbling over in you. I felt like that after I went up there to the detention center the other day and preached for four times, preached about 2 hours. After I got through, man, I told him God's getting help. People come to me saying, I want to come to the house of God, and I hope they do. I tell them that. I hope you do. And boy, I felt like in that car, son, I felt like I could have preached the roof off of it. Amen. I wish I'd have got out and just preached right there. Amen. Hey, thank God, don't let it down. Yeah, thank God, fit on them things that remain. Run the race. Endure it. You know, it's easier said than done. Some people went through a whole lot. And the Lord added his blessing to them. An old heart attack. I didn't have a heart attack. I had heart surgery 3 years ago. I know it brings it off quite often, but it was good for me. I will tell you this. It was good for me. It's good for me. It really was. You say, how was it good for you, preacher? The Holy Ghost work. Amen. Holy Ghost worked in me during that time. Let me sit in the house about a month and couldn't crank a car and drive it. Let's sit there. Thank. See, God knows what he's doing to you and what he does for you. All that's his purpose, to get you more like him. Amen. Ain't no need to be discouraged about it. I told you this the other day. I was going to work, and I was over there to go do something up there, and I looked at my hands, and I said, thank God he made me like this. And all of a sudden, I just got to thinking, you know, God made me the way. Hallelujah! God made me the way He wanted me to be. Yeah. Why should I ever look in the mirror and say, "Oh, me"? Yeah. I've been wearing glasses since I was 3 years old. I can't see that good. If I took them off, I wouldn't want to drive home tonight. I can see good with them on. You know why I'm wearing them? God made me like this. You know why I got blue eyes? God gave them to me. You know why I got a bald spot up the head? God give it to me. Everything about me, God made it. Amen. That's a blessing, ain't it? Why would we depress tonight? Why are we discredited tonight for the fact that God made us the way He wants us to be, and He wants us to run for Him and be the will of God for Him and do what God says for Him? And brother, I'm telling you one thing. Thank God there's nothing like it. And I'm telling you there's a reward coming one day. Praise God. Make me say, Lord God, help me just get out there. This, I think one of the keys, I really do believe one of the keys to being successful, and I use the word successful, and be an accomplisher and overcomer, yeah, is that you know who you're doing it for.
Yeah.
You know who you're doing it for.
Amen.
Oh, buddy, I'm going to tell you what. When you go up there to 3 and 4 people sometimes and all them people sick and people's dying around you up there in that house that you're at, that yakking house, and you walk down there and you look across there and you see only 2 made it that night, and when you're walking back, the devils are telling you in one ear it ain't worth it. You just ought to called it off tonight. You ought not kept a doing it, but thank God the Holy Ghost said, no, sir, you stay in there. You run the race. You do what I called you to do. They ain't no little work in my work. It don't matter how big people think it is. It don't matter, brethren. Thank God it's about God.
Yeah.
Amen. A lot of people look at it, well, I'm failed. No, you ain't failed if you're doing it for the glory of God. Who would have called Noah a failure? He had 8 people in the ark. Who would have called Jeremiah a failure? He wanted to quit. Who would have called Isaiah a failure? He said, go preach till they gone. Then I'll give you a little crown. That's right. Who would have called that? Who would have called John the Baptist a failure? He got his head cut off in a prison. Who would have called him that? But it ain't how big it is. It's who you're doing it for. And I'll tell you this, and God knows my heart tonight. I'd love to see every pew filled. But this is God's church. His church is as much yours as it is mine. That's right. And the God of heaven has people He brings here. And I tell them the privilege to get up and open my mouth for God. Amen. And I preach to one person. I preach to 2 people in a prayer meeting. And if God gets in it, as long as He's there, it wouldn't matter if nobody's there. Amen. Thank God. I'm telling you, we got a great availability with God. A husband and wife can have an old time meeting at the prayer, at the end of their bed praying, at a table weeping, at a loving one another in thanksgiving. But I'm telling you what, if they ain't nobody there and it's you and God, praise God, most of the time that's when it gets on more probably than any time. You know why? Because just you and Him is turning loose. Amen. You get to pray.
Amen. That's worth it. Yes, that's worth it, buddy. That's worth it. That's worth it. That's worth it. Hey, it's worth it.
Don't you tell me no otherwise. Amen. Thank God the sky falls. Praise God. Everything goes wrong. I just want to tell you tonight, it's worth it. It's worth it. Amen. The old preacher said, if it wasn't no heaven, there wasn't no hell. Thank God it's still worth it. Amen. Why? It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Him. It's about Him. Thank God, make me want to run. Amen. It's about Him. Let's keep it going. Amen. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Amen. Brother Robert, he's 92 years old. He don't feel like it sometimes. You don't feel like it sometimes. Amen. I'll tell you what these people didn't say by feelings, Noah. It didn't say by faith, by feelings, Abel. It didn't say by feelings, Abraham. It said by faith.
Right.
Do it anyway. Believe God.
Yeah.
He'll not never, never go back on His word. Not one time. It's worth it. Let's stand tonight. I appreciate you hearing the word of God.